Alrighty, just a second.
Okay. The Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud raises a question based on a brisa. How come every day of Sukkot we say Halal Shalom, and every day of Pesach we do not recite Halal Shalom? Only the first day, and the rest of the days we only say Chatzi Halal. So the Gemara answers that Sukkot every day is Chalukim the Korban, and same every day bring a different Korban, as opposed to Pesach every day. Every day bring the exact same carbon. Why should that be relevant? Why should whether you bring the same carbon every day be koveya whether you say halal or not? What's the connection? So Rab Soloveitchik learned pshat as follows, that every day of Sukkot has its own parsha in the Chumash. B'yam Hasheni, B'yam Hashlishi, B'yam Ravi. So what it means is that every day has its own kedushas hayom. As opposed to Pesach, all the 7 days are included in one parsha. There's one long kedushas hayoyim that extends for 7 days. So the Ramban, in his Hasogas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, understands in Pshat and not Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud that the Mechayiv of Halal maybe is Min HaTorah. The Rambam there takes issue with the Halachas Gedolah. The Baha counts Halal as one of the 613 mitzvahs, and the Rambam disagrees. So the Rambam says, how can the Baha count it as one of the mitzvahs? It only makes sense to include mitzvahs that are derais. You don't include mitzvahs derabban, and everybody knows that halal is only derabban. So the Ramban suggests maybe the Bahag thinks that halal on yontav is deraisa. Why should it be deraisa? Where is there a pasuk in Chumash? The Ramban says, well, it says v'samachta b'chagecha. There are two types of simcha. There's simcha saguf, to have basar v'yayin. Then there's simcha sanefesh. The person is celebrating on yontav, so he wants to say, he should say halal. So maybe that's the mechayev. So that's the Pshat and the Gemara on Pesach. It's one long Kedushas Hayayim that lasts for 7 days. So if you say Halal on one day, you'd say for all the 7 days. Masheni Kein on Sukkot, every day has a separate Kedushas Hayayim. So every day is Mechayiv in Simcha separately. So every day is Mechayiv to recite the Halal. Maybe that's the Pshat and the Gemara. That's what Rab Soloveitchik said from his father, Rab Moshe Soloveitchik Yechidish. Let's say if a person would be sick in the hospital the first few days of Pesach, and he gets out of the coma the second day Chol Hamoed, the third day Chol Hamoed, so he hasn't yet said Halal Shalom. So it's not a din, the first 2 days you say Halal Shalom, and the rest you say Chatzi Halal. You have to recite Halal Shalom once during the duration of the 7 days of Pesach. So if he didn't say on the first 2 days, he should say Halal Shalom with a bracha sometime on Chol Hamoed Pesach, or the last days, whatever. Could well be. It becomes bar mitzvah middle of Pesach, so he wasn't yotzei with the mitzvah that he did on the first day. He would have to do. That's probably correct. He ought to say halal shalom. That's a correct error. Yeah. So the Gemara gave this explanation why we don't say halal shalom every day of Pesach. So the question is, the Beis Yosef quotes a medrash that gives a different reason. That Masa Yaratov Mayabat and Mamim Shira. That's why we don't say Halal Shalom on Shvi'i Shal Pesach. And the Zohar gives a different explanation. Why? What do you need? Other explanation. The Gemara gave a good explanation. So the Rab Soloveitchik explained, and Yeshua Yankiv has this on Or Chaim, that the Gemara was asking one question, and the Medrash and the Zohar were asking a different question. Gemara was asking a question, there's a Chi of Simchas Yontav, so why is it different? How come on Pesach you only say once halal for the whole duration of the 7 days? And on Sukkot, how come you say halal every day? Why is there a chi of simcha every day? So that's what the Gemara says. Every day of Sukkot has a separate parsha. B'yam Hasheni, B'yam Hashlishi, B'yam Ravis. Every day has a chi of simcha. And Pesach, there's one chi of simcha for all 7 days. But the Zohar is asking, the Zohar and the Medrash are asking a different question. Not halal out of Simchas Yontav. Just like we recite halal every day of Chanukah, because Zechal Nes, so on Shvi'i Shal Pesach, the Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf occurs. So why don't we say Halal Shalom on Shvi'i Shal Pesach? That's the question. Not because of Simchas Yontav. Why don't we say Halal Shalom on Shvi'i Shal Pesach, Zechal Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf? So to that, the Zohar gives the answer The Medrash quoted by the Beis gives the answer that's not right. That's why you don't say Halal Shalom on Shmi Yisrael Pesach. And the Zohar gives a different answer, that during the Svira period we are in Avelus, and a person is in Avelus, it's not proper that he should recite Halal Shalom. So that's why many Hasidim and many Sfardish and Mekubalim have a practice that the first Svira Saimer, which is the second night, the night of the second Seder of Pesach, they count the Svira Saimer after the Seder. Why? Because the halal that they're going to recite during the Seder is a halal that's in connection with the Nes of Makas Bechoris, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it's not right, you don't begin the Avelus of Svira till after you start counting Svira Saimer. So we postpone the Svira Saimer till after the meal, because we're going to say Halal Shalem in the middle of the meal. What do you gain by postponing Svira till after the meal? But in the morning you're going to say Halal Shalem and Shul. So the answer is no, the official answer they give, no. Halal and Shul in the morning, that's Halal on Simchas Yantav. So Halal Simchas Yantav, even when an Avelus also says, but the Zer is only Makbid. You shouldn't say Halal Shalom Alanes during the period of Svira. So the Zohar is assuming that there's an inyan of Avelus and Svira unrelated to Meisel Talmidei Rav Akiva. The Gemara in Yevamos and the end of Perek Al Boi Vimtoi has the whole sugya of the Mishnayos, and the Gemara have the whole all the dinim of Pira Berivya. You have to have so many children. So if a person already had children at a young age, so he can call it quits. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Kehelas, that the farmer should plant in the morning, should plant in the afternoon, because he can never tell which will grow better. So the Gemara says it applies also to children. Even if a person fulfilled Piriviriviya in his youth, he should try to have more children. That's called La'erav al Tanach Yodecha, have more than the bare minimum. Now in recent years they recommend everyone should have a bigger family, because the Nazis killed out so many Jews, so we should try to make up the loss. We had so many millions were killed by the Nazis. But even without that, even if you would have Shonim Kitikunam, that's what the Gemara quotes, that pasuk from Koheles, because the pasuk ends, you don't know which children will be the good children. Maybe the children that you have in your old age will be the better children than the children that you have when you're younger. So the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had thousands of Talmidim, and he could have retired. He already did Harbatzis Hatar, and he didn't. And it's a good thing that he didn't, because all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. Then Pesach Latzeres, Befros Hatzeres, this part of the Sfira period, they died. And then he had to start teaching Torah all over again. And as those five students that he had after the epidemic, after all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died out, so they were the ones who transmitted the Torah to the next generation. So that's the context where the Gemara quotes at the middle of the discussion of Pirei Berivya, that Baburka Zerah Sarecha doesn't only go that a person shouldn't retire from having children, a Rebbe shouldn't retire from giving shiurim in the yeshiva if he's up to it. Sometimes there's a problem, a Rebbe doesn't realize that he has to retire. He's not saying good shiurim, so that's unfortunate. Okay, sometimes a rabbi doesn't realize that it's time to step down from the rabbi. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes different minhagim, which are the 33 days, which are the part of the sphere. The Gemara says, Talmid Rabbi Akiva died during part of the sphere, not the whole sphere period. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they only talk about Avelus during the sphere period, because of Talmid Rabbi Akiva who died at that time. That's the question. The Gemara says they died because Al Shalanog HaKovid Zebazeh. So it's a Peledik. How can it be? Al Shalanog HaKovid Zebazeh. Rabbi Akiva was the one who used to popularize the notion that we have to rach kamocha is the most important mitzvah in the Torah. So there used to be a big Talmid Chacham here in New York area, Rabbi Henkin. Before Rabbi Moshe came, he was the big poysek here in New York. So he has in one of his essays, they were killed by the Romans in the rebellion against the government. That has nothing to do with Ashalanog and Kabbazebazeh. The Tanaim wrote that Lashon because they all knew that was a joke. That's ridiculous. Everybody knew that they were involved in the revolution against the Bar Kokhba revolution against the government. So they wrote the most ridiculous thing that the government shouldn't catch them. They were afraid to mention that they died in the revolution because the government may give them a hard time. Whatever it is, Talmid Rabbi Akiva died. So in the Shulchan Aruch, that's the reason that's given for the Avelus, yeah. But the Zohar talks about Avelus, the whole spirit period, and Avelus their Isa. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. The Zohar explains what it is. Sometimes a person is Tameh, and they need Shiv and Akim. He has to count a man, a woman, a Zaba. A Zaba has to have Shiv and Akim. If a whole nation is Tameh, so then the Zohar says you have to have 7 weeks. Shiv and Akim, 7 weeks. So that's what we count Sfira Saimer. The 7 weeks of Sfira to be mitar the whole nation. The Jewish nation was involved in all kinds of Avodah Zarah. In Mitzrayim, the Medrash says that on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, so the Yams tainted, why should I split? Halolo abde Avodah Zarah, halolo abde Avodah Zarah. Why should I drown the Mitzrayim and save the Jewish people? They all worship Avodah Zarah. So the Rabban Shlom argued, I know that the Jewish people were forced into it, the Mitzrayim did it out of their own free will, the Jews were forced into it. So there's a difference. But the Bnei Yisrael had sunken into the tumas of Mitzrayim. So that's why it was necessary to have Shivinikim to become Torah. So whenever a person is Tomei, he's not able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. He can't enter into the presence of Hashem. He entered the Beis HaMikdash, you're entering Lefnei Hashem, and that's always the Mechayiv of Simcha. The Pasuk says, "Esmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem." Simcha always is there when a person is in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Gemara in the first paragraph in Chagiga. The Gemara has an expression, "Ein Atzvus Lefnei Hamokim." There's never sadness if when the person is in the presence of Hashem. Shenema, Hoyd v'Hado Lefana Voice v'Chedvo v'Mikomo. When a person is b'Mikomo, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's always going to be Chedvo. There's always going to be rejoicing. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's a Gemara in the beginning of Perek Ela Megalchen that Kohen Gadol all year long has a Chiyuv Simcha, and just like a Jew on Regal, on Sholosh Regalim has a Chiyuv Simcha, therefore one doesn't observe Avelus, so the Kohen Gadol all year long doesn't observe Avelus. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rambam writes against the Gemara. The Rambam writes that Kohen Gadol does observe Avelus, so the Mefarshim on the Rambam ask, it's against the Gemara. So they say he has a different Gemara, he paskens like a different Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's a question, where does it say a different Gemara? But that's the problem. So the Gemara there, Mike Cotton, says that the Kohen Gadol all year long has a Chiyuv Simcha. Why is Kisol Beregel? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Mechayiv of Simcha on Regel is because on Sholosh Regalim there's a Chiyuv Aliyah LeRegel. Everyone is obligated to enter into the Azara to come Lefnei Hashem. When one is Lefnei Hashem, then it's Machtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem. That engenders a Chiyuv Simcha. The Kohen Gadol, and even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where there is no Chiyuv Aliyah LeRegel, so the Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah, because he blows shofar, kivin d'lizikaron ka'asi kelifnim dami. Whenever you blow shofar, it's considered as if you're davening, and when you're davening, it's considered as if you're mamish in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on Rosh Hashanah also there's a Chiyuv to come lefnei Hashem, which engenders a Chiyuv Simcha. The Chiyuv to blow shofar is to be lefnei Hashem on Yom Kippur. There's a Chiyuv Tshuva. There's really a Chiyuv Tshuva all year long. Whenever a person realizes that he did an Aveira, he has a Chiyuv Tshuva. But the Rambam writes, Achidish, that on Yom Kippur, there's more of a Chiyuv to do Tshuva. Rabbein Yoina in the Shari Tshuva also writes like that. There's a special Chiyuv Tshuva on Yom Kippur because there's an opportunity to get the Kapora and Slicha Mechila. So you shouldn't lose such an opportunity. So there's more of a Chiyuv to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur than there is all year long. And the Pasuk in Novi uses an expression, Rakav and Esech Mahoyim Abdilim, Beinechem Levein Elekechem. The Averis that we do serve as an iron wall to separate between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you have a Chiyuv Tshuva, so you'll remove that wall, so you will be restored to the state of being Lefnei Hashem. Then Yom Kippur, there's a Chiyuv Simcha because we have a Chiyuv to become Lefnei Hashem, a Chiyuv Tshuva. And Rosh Hashanah, there's a Chiyuv Simcha because blowing shofar, kevin elizikar and kasi kelefnim mami. It's considered zech lefnei Hashem. And Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, there's a chiyuv aliyah leregel. So whenever there's an inyan to be lefnei Hashem, then there's a chiyuv simcha. So the Kohen Gadol, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Kohen Gadol has an obligation to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day. He's supposed to supervise all the hakrobas, kol hakarbanos kulam. So since the Kohen Gadol has a chiyuv to be lefnei Hashem, that's dinu ki yisrael beregel, that means he has a chiyuv simcha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said over from the Zohar, that during the period of Sfira, because Bnei Yisrael are treated as if they're in a state of Tumah, we have to count Shiv Nikim 7 weeks. When a person is in a state of Tumah, so he's not allowed to come to the Beis HaMikdash, not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So in a certain sense, during the Sfira period, since we're being mitair ourselves from the Tumah, that's what the Tefillah that the Hasidim recite after the Sfira Simon, they say, that the purpose of the Sfira Shivanikim is to remove all the Tumah, that Shivanikim. So therefore, a person is Tumah in a certain sense, has to observe Avelus, and that's why the Zohar says there's an Inyan of Avelus that arises during Sfira and the whole period of Sfira. Not just these 33 days, those 30 days, the whole period of Sfira. That's but some have a meaning that one observes Avelus, not only Befroi Satzeres, 33 days here or there, but part of the, and nothing to do, Tamid Rebbe Kiva died. The Avelus that one observes during Sfira, perhaps, is because everybody's in the state of Tamei, and one who's Tamei has to be careful to stay away from Hashem. Yes, a person is not lifnei Hashem, so that itself, by definition, means avelus. There are three different types of avelus: the shiva, the shloshim, and yud beis chodesh. Here, the Shulchan Aruch says that we observe a miktsas avelus. Rav Soloveitchik said every minig, he got this. Rav Soloveitchik got this from the Bi'ur Agro. Whenever the Shulchan Aruch writes a minig, so the Bi'ur Agro always will give you what the minig is based on. Every minig has a good reason, but a reason is not sufficient. A minig, that it shouldn't be a minig shtus, has to have some kind of a kiyum. It's a fulfillment of some kind of a din or another. So here, if you have a minig to have avelus during Sfira, it should really correspond to something. It corresponds to Shiva Shloshim, a Yud Beis Chodesh. So as she said, it corresponds to Yud Beis Chodesh. The only two things that we don't allow is Nisuin and Tisperis. And the truth of the matter is, the Behetav raises the question, we only observe during Sfira Miktas Avelus, the lightest form of Avelus, namely Yud Beis Chodesh. And one who's in Yud Beis Chodesh, an oval on Yud Beis Chodesh, if Ein Laisha Banim, a young person who's never married before, he's allowed to get married. He doesn't have to wait till after the Yud Beis Chodesh is up. So why do we say that people shouldn't get married during Sfira? Because it corresponds to the Yud Beis Chodesh, but during Yud Beis Chodesh, Gufa, when it's a real din, you're allowed to get married. If Ein Laisha Banim, so the Be'er Heitav quotes the answer in Echanami. Mi'ikaret din, he really should be mutter. Should only be also to get married if Yesh L'Risha Banim. He already is married and he wants another wife, or he already did fulfill Peru Rivi. But a young person getting married for the first time should be able to get married now. But there's a different consideration because so many tragedies occurred during this period of time. Tamidi Rabbi Akiva were killed by the Romans or whatever the story was, and during the Crusades, in the winter it's cold, so in the springtime that's when they always started all the crusades. So they killed so many Jewish, they wiped out so many Jewish communities during the Sfira period. So that's why Lo Misamna Milsa, it's not a lucky season of the year. There is no such thing a lucky season of the year. That's a din loisa einenu. Oina means man. You're not allowed to attribute that Friday the 13th is unlucky, and Friday the 10th is lucky, and this month is lucky, except for Chodesh Nisan, except for Chodesh Adar, the Gemara says. If you have it in Torah with a Nochri, so the Gemara says you should go Mishnech Nasov, you should go to the Din Torah in Ador, and you shouldn't go for the Din Torah in Chodesh Av. So the Gemara says that we have a tradition that Chodesh Ador is a lucky season for the Jewish people, and the first 9 days in Chodesh Nisan is an unlucky season. But aside from that, Chodesh Ador and the first 9 days in Chodesh Av, aside from that, there is no such thing. There's a lucky season and an unlucky season. But still, it's like Misamna Milsa, like we have a minig. We don't get married b'sof ha-chodesh. So somebody showing them later in the Sugi in Sanhedrin, on the Sugi of Elosa Onenu, the Nemuki Yosef quotes, somebody showing them said, you're not allowed to be makbara on that. When you're setting the wedding date, you're not allowed to look at a calendar to see when the moilet is and when the full moon is and when it's the end of the month, when the moon is getting bigger or smaller, because that'll be a violation of Elosa Onenu. So we pass on that it's permissible to. You're not mechuyiv to, but it's permissible. I mean that it's not a violation of Lo Sanein. It's not that we think that if you get married the first half of the month, the marriage will be a happier marriage. No, it's just symbolic, like a girl wears a white gown. There's a din, you have to wear a white gown. There's no meaning, you don't have to wear a white gown. It's a simon of purity. Okay. So you have white tablecloths at a wedding. You could have a black tablecloth. You put white table, symbol of purity. Fine. So you have you get married b'tchilas ha-chodesh when the moon is getting bigger and bigger, that the love for each other should grow bigger and bigger as a simon. The Gemara says, "Ein moshkim sam lochim," when you would anoint a new king, so you would anoint him by a river as a siman bracha that just like the river flows on, so his kingdom should flow on. So it means he's going to be more successful as a king if you anoint him by the river. No, it doesn't mean he's going to be more successful. A siman bracha. So this is also a siman bracha to get married the beginning of the month as opposed to the end of the month. So you don't pick a season of the year that was a tragic season in Jewish history. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Mitzad Hilchas Avelus. We observe Miktas Avelus during the Sfira period. It would have really been mutter to get married for Ein Lo Isha Bonim. But that's he's allowed to even get married in the middle of Yud Beis Chodesh Mamish when it's Medina. One has to observe Avelus for a parent. Yud Beis Chodesh. But it's Lo Misam Nemilsa. This is such a tragic season of the year. That's why we don't schedule a wedding at this time. What if a person is getting married? Different people have different minhagim. So this person gets married. He doesn't begin Sfirat El Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So he's getting married at the end of Nisan. And other people already started Sfira. So are they allowed to attend the wedding? So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes that, yes, this issue of whether you're allowed to get married, that the Chosn Kala have to determine whether what's their minhag. Are they allowed to get married or not? But once they determine they're getting married, even if they get married in that part of Sfira that L'chola day is, the meaning is that you observe Avelus. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, if a person goes ahead and he violates the meaning, ain't konsumosa, you don't penalize him. So Moshe writes, if no one's going to attend the wedding, ain't locha knas godel mizet, no one's going to attend your wedding. So obviously everyone is allowed to attend the wedding. Why? It's a makam mitzvah. So the makam mitzvah, there's no, you don't observe minhagim. The whole din of Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh, you observe Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh during the Sfira, the whole thing is only a minig, and this is a real din to be mesameh chasen kal, to attend the wedding if you can, if you're a friend of the chasen. So that's a real din. So that's what Rav Moshe said. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said the same. Rav Soloveitchik didn't publish a tshuva. Rav Moshe published a tshuva. There are those who disagree with Rav Moshe, but the pashta says you're not mechuyev to be machmas so much.
He must have changed the minig because originally he didn't have the Crusades and all those things that happened
later
in history.
Right.
So initially it must have been that it was allowed to get married.
Right. Right. That's what they imply, that this was later, after the Crusades. They added this on. Even Ein Lo Isha Bonim also should not get married this season of the year. Right. And then we have a meaning that we don't listen to music during Yud Beis Chodesh. That itself is also not a din. The Rosh Hashulchan has all arichas. In the end of Yeridei, he says there is no such din that you're not allowed to listen to music in Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh. It's a meaning. The meaning started off that you don't listen to dancing music, and you may get carried away and start dancing. And dancing, Rikudim and Mchoilus, that's already a violation of Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh. So the meaning started off that you don't listen to dancing music, and then the meaning spread that you don't listen to other music as well. Okay. So that's the same by Sfira. The Prima Gaudium writes, the meaning is that one doesn't listen to music during Sfira, unless he's a musician, that's what he does for a living, and he has to play at non-Jewish weddings. Okay? So that's what he does for a parnasa. So then it's permissible. Or let's say he's a musician, he only plays at Jewish weddings, but he wants to be in form. He wants to be in shape. So if he's not going to play music for 33 days, he's going to forget the whole chachma of playing music. So then if he's practicing playing his musical instrument for parnasa purposes, and then it says that it's permissible. The Mishnah Berurah says that during Sfira, if someone bought a new suit, so you say Shachyon. What's the chiddush over here that you say Shachyon? You shouldn't think that it's like the 9 days as a minig that in the 3 weeks one doesn't say Shachyon. So you shouldn't think that it's like the 3 weeks. This is not. We don't have such a minig. Others, when we die incorrectly from the Mishnah Berurah, it just says b'di'evet. If you bought the suit b'di'evet, then you can say Shachyon. So Chacham Avadya, I think, has a true. He says the diuk from the Mishnah Berurah is incorrect. Mishnah Berurah just quoting one of the Achronim says like that. But there is no such. Most people do not have such a meaning. Very few people have such a meaning. There is such a meaning that Yitaka don't say Shachyon during Sfira either. But most don't have that meaning. When one is in Avelus for a parent, so one has to observe Shiva Shloshim Yud Beis Chodesh. On Yud Beis Chodesh, one is not permitted to take a haircut until he reaches the point at Shigar B'chaver, till he looks so bad, his hair is growing so long that people tell him that it looks awful. Then it says in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to wait till someone tells you. If you look in the mirror, you see yourself that you look awful, So then you're allowed to take a haircut, you're allowed to take a shave. So the Marmshik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer in the middle 1800s in Hungary. So he has a tshuva, so he says, as far as the people who shave every day, so you reach the point of the Garba Chaver at a very early stage. As far as taking haircuts, for people who have beards, and talking about taking a haircut, so in the days of the Ramah says that... I think the Ramah writes that you have to wait 3 months to take a haircut. What's that? It's 3 months, not 3 months into the Avelus, 3 months since your last haircut. Why do you have to wait 3 months? So Moshe Feinstein is guessing, so he writes in his tshuva, he thinks the practice probably was that they took a haircut every month and a half. So the Ramah says you wait 3 months, twice the amount of time that you normally wait, that's probably shir for Yigar B'chaber. So that's more or less what the Maramshik writes. He says, for people who shave every day, so if they wait a couple of days, they wait 3-4 days, that's already called Yigar B'chaverov. So if it's already after Shloshim, so it's already, he hasn't taken a shave for quite a while. So that's the common practice, that after one is an Avelus for a parent, so you don't take a haircut, you don't shave till after the Shloshim, and then you have to wait for Yigar B'chaverov. As far as taking a haircut, so we, the Rav Moshe says, we don't wait 3 months, we wait 2 months. Because the common practice is that people today usually take a haircut, men usually take a haircut once a month. So if you wait twice as long, that'll be 2 months. Rav Moshe is guessing, he thinks that the Rav Moshe said you wait 3 months, because they probably used to take a haircut every month and a half. Then as far as shaving is concerned, so for people who shave every day, so that's considered Yigar B'chaverov. If you wait a couple of days, Yigar B'chaverov doesn't help in Shloshim, it only helps after Shloshim is up. All you're observing is the Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh. That's what Rav Soloveitchik's practice was. He said that for students who shave all the time, they don't have beards. So then during Svira, you would be permitted to shave Al Pi Pashtus, because it's Yigar B'chaverov. In Baltimore Yeshiva, they had a practice that they would shave for Shabbos. That was years ago when Rabbi David Krungles was the Mashgiach there. Why would they shave for Shabbos? Because the Pashtus says shaving for Shabbos is that's a real din, a quote Shabbos. You have to dress up with big day Shabbos. You have to be clean and neat. So that's a real din. So not shaving in Sfira, that's only a minig, and observing quote Shabbos is a real din. What do you do when you have a conflict between a real din and a minig? So the Pashtus says that you observe the real din, you don't observe the minig. The Netziv has a tshuva like that, in connection with the Gemara in the first Perek in Brochus. He interprets the Gemara like that, that whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a minig, then you observe the real din. Rav Gusman has such a tshuva. We have sometimes a woman can't have any children because of Hilchas Nida. If she would have been able to go to mikveh earlier, she would have been able to conceive. So sometimes her inability to go to mikveh is only based on a minig. Sometimes it's a real din derabbanan, sometimes it's only a minig. So there's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Did that become a din derabbanan b'zman hazeh? Is it still only a minig? In the days of the Gemara, it was a minig. The Gemara says, Echad nog nog, hechad lo nog lo nog. It's only a minig. And we paskan in Yeridea that the din is still only a minig, didn't become a din derabbanan. So that's what Rav Gusman has at the end of a Sefer and Kiddushin. He has a tshuva halacha l'maisa that if a woman is unable to conceive because of a minig in Hilchas Nida to postpone going to the mikveh, and pirvi rivi is a real din, so whenever the mitzvah comes in conflict with a minig, so then you observe the mitzvah. You don't have to observe the minig. And he says it, he doesn't quote the tshuva of the Netziv, he bases it on a kesef mishnah, that the Rambam says when you bring a Korban Pesach, you boil the whole Korban Pesach together, you have to cut out the chalev and burn it on the mizbeach, you have to cut out the chutei dam, so the dam won't be nivla into the flesh. But after you cut out the chutei dam, chutei chalev, then you broil the whole Korban Pesach. After you finish broiling the whole Korban Pesach, rosh al krov al kirboi, then you remove the gid anosha and you're not allowed to eat that. So the Ravid writes, attacking the Rambam in Hasogs on Hilchas Korban Pesach, if I would be there and he would bring his carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, I would throw it on the floor and tell him he's not allowed to eat it. What do you mean? He brought the carbon Pesach with the Gid Anosha, he made a treif. The Gid Anosha makes a treif. So the Kesef Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. So he says, there's a machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah in Per Giran Asher. We paskin ain't begidden but I said Giran Asher does not make treif the rest of the flesh. It doesn't have enough of a tam that you should say tam kiike. But then the Kesef Mishnah raises the question: what about the shuman agid? Shuman agid is not awesome in Atar, but the Gemara says it's aser. And the shuman agid, there are two opinions in Tosfos. We paskin shuman agid does aser. One opinion in Tosfos is that since shuman agid is exera to gid. And get on the and begin minos and tam, so you don't have to worry about tam ki ikar abdu shuman agid either. So we don't follow that opinion. We follow the Rambam seems to hold like the other day in Tosfos with Machmer. Even though the get on the itself cannot asa tam ki ikar and begin minos and tam, shuman agid can asa. So the shuman agid, well, the Rambam says they didn't cut anything out. So if they didn't cut it out, so the ribbit's tiny. The shuman agid is going to make the whole carbon pass of treif. So the Kesef Mishnah has an answer, and the Prima Gordon quotes it Allah lemaisa. He says the Loshana Gemara is the Shuman Agid is Mutam and Atara, Yisrael Kiddoshim Nagubo Isa. The holy Jewish people introduced, formed a minig not to eat Shuman Agid. So the Loshana Gemara seems to imply the Shuman Agid is not even an Isa de Rabban, it's only a minig. So that's what the Kesef Mishnah says. Since there's a, on the one hand there's a minig not to eat Shuman Agid, on the other hand there's a real din, Rosh Al Karab Al Kirbay, supposed to burn the carbon Pesach while the whole thing is intact. Everything all together. So on Pesach night, when it came to eating Karm Pesach, all the Jewish people violated the minig. The minig is you don't eat Shuman Agid. On Pesach night, everybody eats Shuman Agid because the minig has to give in to the real din. The real din is that you have to broil the Karm Pesach, Rosh Al Krov, the Al Kirboy. So that's what the practice used to be in Baltimore Yeshiva, that they used to shave for Shabbos. Because the whole minig, not to shave during sphira, the whole thing is only a minig. So b'mokam mitzvah, so you have to observe the mitzvah, the real din. So there's an expression that appears in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that one is in Avelus, Yud Beis Chodesh is not allowed to take a haircut until he waits 3 months. Wait 3 months. But he looks awful. And then the Ramah has a minig, even after Yigar B'chaverov, if you live Ben Anochrim, then you take a haircut after Yigar B'chaverov. We live Ben Anochrim. We live among, we don't live in a Jewish ghetto. We live together in an integrated neighborhood. But if you live a Jew, the Jews have a separate neighborhood, then the Ramah recommends you shouldn't take a haircut, shouldn't shave for the whole Yud Beis Chodesh. We don't have that. So the Chasam Sofer talks about that minig. How can it be? But what about Kvod Shabbos? He's supposed to dress up nicely, the quote Shabbos of the Chasam Sofer has a famous line that everybody quotes, Nivulo Zehu Kvodo. He looks sloppy because he's observing Avelus, he's observing the minik, not to shave, not to take a haircut. So Nivulo Zehu Kvodo. Yes, so Nivulo Zehu Kvodo, that's when there's a real din of Avelus. By Avelus Yid Bechodesh, when a parent dies. But if you're talking about Sfiris, the Sfiris is only a minik. So you always say Nivulo Zehu Kvodo. We should walk around with torn jeans on Shabbos. And torn clothing will say Nivulas al Kvodah, Nivulas al Kvodah. If the din requires that, then you have no prayer. So say Nivulas al Kvodah. So the Ramah says the minig was they didn't take a haircut the whole year Beis Chodesh unless they lived Bein Anachrim. They wouldn't take a haircut. What about Kvod Shabbos? So then you say Nivulas al Kvodah. But if you're talking about the minig not to take a haircut during Sfira, that's only a minig. So the Pashtus is whenever the minig is in conflict with the real din. So the real din should.
Eretz Yisrael would apply, and we would consider Eretz Yisrael like not living among the goyim. They would hold that.
Could be. I don't know. I don't live in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. Could be that the whole place is. It probably depends which community. Probably a lot of communities, but everybody's Jewish.
Yeah.
So the whole Yid Beis Chodesh, one shouldn't take a haircut, one shouldn't shave. Well, if you live amongst Jews. The Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha, quotes an idea from the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim is not sure, so the Mishnah Brura quotes Lahakel. The question is, the Perik, the third Perik in Mein Katan has all the dinim of Avila, so it's Eilem Galcha Memoid. Normally you're not allowed to take a haircut on Chalamoid, you're not allowed to shave on Chalamoid. To make sure that people will take a haircut before Yantar begins. So they prohibited, even though it's a Tzarach HaMoed, Malocha the Tzarach HaMoed should be Mutter, but they prohibited midrabbanan kadesh leikanis leregel tushuhu menuvo. So the Mishnah says that some people are yotzei mibeis asurim if the fellow was released from prison. On Chol HaMoed he was sick in the hospital, and then they released him from the hospital. Or he came habom medinas hayam. He was on a boat, and there was no barber on the boat, and then he landed. He came back to Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah is book written in Eretz Yisrael. Comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and then he arrives on Chol HaMoed. So he's allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed because it's an oynes demucha. It's an oynes. He wasn't able to take the haircut before Yantiv, and it's an oynes demucha. All the people in the neighborhood know what his oynes was. Everybody's aware. If it's an oynes she'ena muchach, the week before Yantiv, he was sick in bed, and the people didn't realize it. It's not that he davens in shul all the time, and for a whole week everybody saw he wasn't there, and everybody knows that he didn't feel well. There are a lot of shuls. They didn't realize that he wasn't feeling well. So if it's mutter to take care, kana chalamayit. If it's an oynes the muchach. So the prim begodim raises a question, that heter to take a haircut, if it's an honest muchach, does that only apply to Chol HaMoed Sukkos? Does it even apply to Chol HaMoed Pesach? What about Sfir? So the first suggestion, he says, lachmer, that those who observe the first 33 days of Sfir, they don't take a haircut till after Lag Baomer. So they shouldn't take a haircut, you should not take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, even though he is Yotze Mibbeis HaSurim, Yotze Mibbeis HaShivya, or Abom Medina Sayam, they shouldn't take a haircut on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Then he says, if they have the meaning that they observe Avelis the first 33 days. Then he says, Inami, and the Mishnah Berurah only quotes the second suggestion, that since they're permitted to take a haircut mitam Chol HaMoed, so they're also permitted to take a haircut mitam Avelis. Why? Why should it be mutter? Mitam the Hilchas Chol HaMoed, it's an Einis the Muchach, but mitam Avelis should be also. So he seems the second suggestion in the Prim Begodim, which the Mechaber, which the Mishnah Berurah has adopted, has accepted in the Bir Halacha, seems to assume there never really was a minig that you don't take a haircut in Sfira. Well, we take a haircut every day. Take a haircut every month or so. So the minig is that you arrange your haircuts in such a way that you shouldn't have to take a haircut in the middle of Sfira. But it's not that there's a minig you don't take a haircut. Meaning is, you arrange your haircut such a way to show, same thing, people get married every day, get married once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime. How often does a person get married? So when you're picking a wedding day, say you don't pick the date over here, but it's not that there's a meaning you don't get married during Sfira. I remember years ago, people used to be drafted into the army. They had to go into the army. So I remember attending weddings in the middle of Sfira. A guy was drafted into the army, he wanted to get married, he should have pas pesaloi. So you say a shtal chupis. There was a shas hadchak. There was shtal chup. We don't have such a musik. So by us, there is no meaning not to get married during Sfira. Meaning is you pick a wedding date, so it shouldn't be in conflict with the Sfira. So that's the second suggestion in the Prima Gartam. It says whoever is allowed. The guy came out from the hospital. The guy came from Medina Sayam, and he was he had an oynes the muchach samitam hilchas Chol HaMoed. He's allowed to take a haircut. So since it's mutam itam Chol HaMoed, so it's also mutam itam davelis. Why? Ibn Avelis says he's implying there never was a meaning not to take a haircut. Meaning is you arrange your haircuts in such a way that it shouldn't come in conflict with the sphere. But his hands were tied. He was honest. He couldn't have arranged the haircuts. He was in a coma the last week. He was in intensive care unit in the hospital. He wasn't able to take a haircut. He was on the boat. On the boat, they don't have any barber. And he doesn't control the boat when it's going to come in. The boat will arrive whenever it's going to arrive. He's not in charge of the boat. So that's the second day in the Prima Gordon that the Mishnah Berurah has adopted, that there never really was such a meaning not to take haircuts, just you should arrange your haircuts in such a way that it should be in conflict with the sphere. But if it turns out, you got to take haircut in the sphere, so it's really permissible. Interesting.
So the people who shave every day, you can't shave before the day. It's the same.
Right, right. So the pashtus is that for them it should be mutter.
I mean, obviously, the Havi Avelis don't apply. We don't take them on until after Chol HaMoed anyway. Like, we can listen to music during
Chol HaMoed. So you see, the Prima Gordim doesn't agree. They have Sfira concerts that they have in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So you see, the Prima Gordim holds not so. That whoever starts observing Avelis before, up until Lag Baomer, should start observing already on Chol HaMoed. So the meaning is not to listen to music, that is the meaning. So you shouldn't listen to music on Chol HaMoed either. Yeah. Rav Shlomo Levilna has a big chiddush in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. Doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. He says that even when one is in Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh, real Avelus, one doesn't observe Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh on Yom Tov HaChalamoy. Doesn't say that anywhere. The Pashta says that it's not so. One is in Avelus. If it's Yud Beis Chodesh, you have to observe the Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh on HaChalamoy also. Pashta says not like he says. Regarding Sphira Soimer, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, Pashas Amor, Pashas Re'ei, says you have to count Sphira Soimer. The Gemara quotes one opinion, at least one opinion, that Sphira Soimer Bizmana says only the Rabbana, because we don't have any Omer. You have to start counting Sphira Miyom Habiyach Mesayim Atnufa. So since there's no Mincha Soimer Bizmana says there's no Beis HaMikdosh, so the whole Sphira Soimer is only the Rabbana. Question is, do we paskin like that? So the Gemara says in Menachas Dav Samach Vav, Meimar only counted the days; he didn't count the weeks. He said that it's only Zecha LeMikdash. But then the Gemara concludes that we don't follow a Meimar. Rabbanan the Beir Abashi count both the days and the weeks. So what does that imply? So the Rambam and the Goyim seem to have understood that implies that Sfiras Amim Zvana says, is there Abba? Is there Isa? It is there Isa. So you count the days and the weeks. In the Shulchan Aruch, that's not the accepted opinion. Even though the Rambam and all the Goyim seem to hold that Sfira Soimer B'Zman Hazeh is their Isa, the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that Sfira Soimer B'Zman Hazeh is only the Rabban. The whole sphere is the Rabban. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Noisei Kelim, in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who has a unique opinion. His sheet is that the counting of the days is their Isa, the counting of the weeks is their Rabban. What in the world is that all about? Why should one be their Isa, one should be their Rabbanon? So the Pashto says that's based on the Gemara in Chagiga, in the second paragraph in Chagiga. The Gemara says, maybe it's the third paragraph in Chagiga, I don't remember. The Gemara says that if one didn't bring the Oil Sri on Shavuos, you have Tashlum and you can bring the Oil Sri the next 6 days following Shavuos. So the Gemara says, how do you know that it's true? On Pesach and Sukkot, it's Chalamoy, the last day's Yontav. But Shavuos is over, the Yontav is over after one day. So how do you know you can bring Tashlumin? Whoever didn't bring the Oil Sri on Shavuos can bring the next 6 days. It's not Shavuos anymore. So the Gemara says, because mitzvah, the Mimni Yami mitzvah, the Mimni Shavuot, because we learn now from the two Parshas, Parshas Amor and Parshas Re'eh, Parshas Amor, it says, you should count Chamishim Yom, you should count the days. Parshas Re'eh, it says, you count the weeks. So the Gemara says we count both the days and the weeks. So then the Gemara adds on, you're counting the days to establish Shavuos as a yontav of one day, regarding Issa Melocha and regarding the Korbanos HaMusafim. If over Yom HaBatal Korban, you have to bring the Musafim on Shavuos. If you didn't bring it on Shavuos, there's no Tashlum. But you count the weeks in order to establish Shavuos as a yontav of a week. But Shavuos is not a yontav of a week. The answer is it is. Shavuos is a yontav of a week vis-a-vis the tashlumin for the Oil HaSriya. If you know, whoever didn't bring the Oil HaSriya, the Shalmei Chagiga, on the first day Shavuos, there's only one day Shavuos. Whoever didn't bring on Shavuos can bring the next 6 days. So the Gemara says that's the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer, the days and the weeks, is because they're Shavuos as a yontav of a day, as a yontav of a week. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim says very intelligently, Pshat and the Gemara, that since the whole relevance of counting the weeks is to establish Shavuos as the yontav of a week when you get to Tashlumin, so b'zman hazeh is not Beis HaMikdash, not because you didn't bring Mincha Soimer. Forget about Mincha Soimer. Sfiras HaOmer is daraisa today. But what should you count weeks for? To establish Shavuos as a week, it's irrelevant. Shavuos as a day is relevant. There's no Musafim today, but there's an Issa Melocha. But Shavuos as a week is irrelevant. There isn't going to be any Beis HaMikdash. We don't see any Beis HaMikdash being built so quickly, and we won't be having any Tashlum in Kol Shiva. So why should you count the weeks? So Ben Yeruchim is all the opinion that counting the weeks, Bizman Hazeh, is only the Rabban. Counting the days is the Reis. A ninth fall. So Taisus in Shulchan Aruch, they adopted the Taisus position. Taisus on Adap, on Samach Vav, Menalt, and Menachas. And the Ran is the last page in the Rif, and Psochim. So that he quotes the Taisus Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is the Rabban. So therefore, if you have a suffix, so you have the right to say Sveika Darabon Lekul. So Taisus says, let's say there's a big Shas HaTchak, and you have to count Sfiras HaOmer during Bein HaShemashos. So normally you don't say Sveika Darabon al Kul if you can easily avoid it. But if you have the big shas al-tak, let's say the rabbi is going to daven in the shul, and they're davening Mincha Ma'ariv one after the other. They're not going to wait to daven Ma'ariv at 9 o'clock. The Balabatim just won't come at 9 o'clock. So they're going to daven Mincha, and then they're going to daven Ma'ariv right after the Shkia. It's already late. So if the rabbi is not going to count Sviris, he tells all the Balabatim, when you go home, don't forget to count Sviris after 9 o'clock. Of course they're going to forget. So that's a shas al-tak. So if you have a shas al-tak, so you can be makel. Sveika the Rabban Lakud. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says you can count Bein Hashmashes with their brach. The Ran, Tainus against Tosfos. Tosfos sounds like the Meikel. You see, we're Meikel if a rabbi has a shul and he knows the Balabatim are going to forget. So that's a Shas HaTchak. So you say Sveika the Rabban Lakud. Tosfos sounds like they recommend it all the time. Everybody should always count Sveira Sarem with Bein Hashmashes. So the Ran asks why. You only say Sveika the Rabban Lakud when you have a Tzorech. Well, why should you be Meikel unnecessarily? So that's the Ran's tain against us. He thinks that even though Sfiras HaMizvan is only the Rabbanon, it's not proper to be Mekel. So what motivates Tosfos holds that you should always count Sfiras HaMizvan Ben Hashmashes. So they explain why. Because there's a din of Tmimos, and Tosfos, the Gemara seems to say Tmimos, you should have as much of the day included in the counting as possible. So the earliest time you can count, you should count. You shouldn't wait till the 10 o'clock minyan to the Dab Ma'ariv at the 10 o'clock minyan, count Sfira at the 20 after 10, the quarter after 10. You should count Sfira earlier. So that's what Tosfos said. This bunch of Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, Sfira Simon was their Raisa, says Feka, their Raisa Luchumma, so you can't count Bein HaShmashin, says Sofik, whether you're Yotze or not. But Zmana said, the Sfira Simon is the Rabbanan, and if you'll count Bein HaShmashin, you will be Yotze B'di Eved, because Bein HaShmashin, Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila, says Feka, the Rabbanan, Lekula, so we would recommend it Lechatchila. What's the Shas HaTchak? What's the Tzorach to be made? Tzorach is you want to get as much Tamimus as possible, as much of the 24-hour period of time as possible. So count during Bein HaShmashes. If you're going to wait till after Tzeisach Kochavim, so you left that part, possibly left that part of the day. That's what the Tosfos writes.
So the
days of that's the time. Days of the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't count Bein HaShmashes because it was the Raisa. So today it's only the Rabbanon. So because of the Rabbanon, so we are more careful about the Tmimas than they were when it was the Raisa. Okay, that's the Taina that Achrenim have against us. But that's what Tosfos presents. Tosfos says that every day is a Shas HaTchak, you should count Bein HaShmashes. So on the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote this, that about counting Bein HaShmashes, so the Chok Yankiv says, but even if you count the Bein HaShmashes, you should really count the days again to be choshes for the Shitas Rabbeinu Yerucham, who holds that only the weeks is the Rabbanim, the days is the Raisa. They quote the Shitas Rabbeinu Yerucham. The weeks are the Rabbanim because you're not going to succeed in establishing Shavuos as a Yantav of a whole week, because it's not Beis HaMikdash. So there is no Tashlumen for the Oilu Svi and the Sham Mechagiga. But you are counting the days to establish Shavuos as a Yantav of a day. When you get the Yisim Alocha. So they quote this Rabbeinu Yerucham. Then in Shulchan Aruch they have another Sif. Mechaber quotes a Sif. If the Balabatim dav Ma'ariv early and it's only Bein HaShmashes, and maybe it's a good idea they should count Sfiras HaOmer without a Brocha and tell everybody, whoever remembers later, should count with a Brocha. So all the Mefarshim ask, how can you count with a Brocha? The din is that Brocha is not Mi'akev. So if you already was Yotze Sfiras HaMizvan as the Rabbana, Sveika the Rabbana Lekula, so maybe Lechatchila shouldn't have done it. But we say it's a Shas HaTchak, we're afraid someone's going to forget. Someone for sure is going to forget. So we say Shas HaTchak, so we counted Sfiras HaMizvan Bein HaShmashes. So how can you count again later with the Bruch? You were Yotze already, the Bruch is not Miyakim. That's the Kasha. So the Vilna Gaon writes, on that Sif, because the Bruch is Miyakim. Since when the Bruch is Miyakim? Usually a Bruch is not Miyakim.
People count like for the
Brocha Shekh. So perhaps the Pashup Shat in the Vilna Goyen is because of the Rav Yo. The Rav Yo runs as follows. There's a Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Brocha. The Gemara has a Sofik. A person has a cup of beer and he thought it was a cup of wine and says, Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, intending to end off Per Piagofen. Then a little he realizes that it's a cup of beer. He's going to say, Bar Piagofen, won't be Yotze. So after he says, Hashem Lekein Melech HaOlam, he realizes, he switches, and he says, Shakon the Yibetor. So the Gemara has a suffix, is a Yotze the Brocha or not? The text of the Brocha was perfect, But the Kavanas HaMavarech, when he said the Shema Malchus, was to end off with Bar Piagofen, and if he would have ended off that, it wouldn't be Yotzei Miriyah, because it's beer, it's not wine. So the Gemara has a Sofik, what the din is. What's the din if you have a Sofik? So we say Sofik Brachas Lahakel. So the Rishonim say, you only say Sofik Brachas Lahakel when the Brach is only Midirabbanan. If you need a Bracha Minator, let's say a person ate a meal Kedei Sviya, and he has a Sofik if he recited Birch Zamazin, he's so tired, he doesn't remember if he recited Birch Zamazin, so you would say Sofik Deraisa Luchumer, even though it's a Bracha. You only say Sofik Brachas Lahakel when the Bracha is only Midirabbanan. So the Rav Yoh writes the following. He says, if a person says the bracha, Shekreshan Sosan al Sviya Sa'imer, and he thought that tonight, what today is 23. So tonight is going to be 24. He thought tonight is 25. So he says the bracha, Shekreshan Sosan al Sviya Sa'imer, intending to say 25, and then he hears everybody says 24. So he let him say 24. So the Rav Yoh writes, since Sviro Saimer Bizman Zez the Rabbanon, so that's why you have a right to be Mekel on the Ibai of the Leib Sheet and the Gemara. Because when he said the Brocha, he intended to say 25, and then at the end he says 24. But Bizman Shabis Hamigdush Hoyakaimu would be a Din Deraisa, then he wouldn't be Yotze. Because that's already a Sveka Deraisa. When he said Hashem Elkeinu Melech HaOlam, intending to end off 25, and he ends off 24, so that would be totally in the Gemara Sofik. So the Vilna Gaon asked the Kasha, how is it Tanya in the Gemara Sofik? The Gemara Sofik is, when he says the Shema Malchus, he intended to conclude the Bracha differently. He was going to end off Bar Piagof, and instead he ended off Sha'akal Nirmadrof. He would have ended off Bar Piagof, and he wouldn't be Yotze, because it's beer, it's not wine. So that's the Gemara Sofik. But over here, the text of the Bracha is the same. All the 49 nights of the Sphere, the text of the Bracha is the same. The only difference is, what mitzvah do you count? Do you count 24th? But they count the 25th. So how is that the Bayad Leib Shita? So that's the kasha that they ask on this Rav Yoh that the Mechabit quotes. So the Vilna Gaon says the Rav Yoh goes l'shitosoy. The Rav Mordechai quotes from the Rav Yoh. We have the Rav Yoh. We don't need the Mordechai quoting from the Rav Yoh. But the Vilna Gaon didn't have a Rav Yoh. So he just had the Mordechai quotes from the Rav Yoh. When you count Sfirisam, you add on al shin. You say, Shekhshan Tassan al Sfirisam, Shehayayim Yamechad Baimah. Shehayayim. Shlosha v'yasim yom ba'omer. He had a shin. What are you adding a shin? In other words, according to the Rav Yoh, Sviras Omer is fulfilled in the form of a bracha. When we put on tefillin this morning, we said a bracha l'aniach tefillin. We said amen. People that listened said amen. And then we did the mitzvah. So you say a birchas ha-mitzvah, and then you do the mitzvah. By Sviras Omer, according to the Rav Yoh, it's not the way we do. Everyone says a bracha. The chazan says a bracha. Sviras Omer, everybody screams out amen, and then he does the mitzvah. Hayoyim, Shlosha v'yasim yom, etc. According to the Rav Yoh, you don't say amen till after the whole sentence is all over. You add a shin, shehayoyim, and the bracha is over when hayoyim, sheim, shlosha, shavuos, shayam, and ba'ima, amen. Everybody says amen at the end. Because the mitzvah of Svir Zayim is fulfilled in the text, in the nusach of a bracha. You fulfill a mitzvah in the form of a bracha. So the end of the bracha changes. Not that the bracha ends al sfir saimer every day the same al sfir saimer amen. The bracha is not over. Tonight the bracha will end shayam shaim shlosha shavuos shlosha yamim baimer. Today and tomorrow night the bracha will end shlosha shavuos v'arba yamim baimer. Every day the bracha ends differently. So that's why the Rav Yoh says this has to do with the Gemara Sofik. The fellow said the Shema Malchus intending to end off 25, and then he ends off 24, the correct sphere tonight 24. So that's the Gemara Sofik. When he said the Shema Malchus, he intended to end off the bracha differently. Not that the bracha ends every night the same, al sphere saima, amen, and then you do the mitzvah. No. The mitzvah is fulfilled in the form of a bracha. That's the Shita Rav Yoh. So it could well be that that's what the Vilna Gaon is referring to. He says if you count the practice that the Mechaber quotes from Rishonim, you should count Sviras Saima during Bein Hashmashes Bali Brocha. And later on, if you remember, so you should say a Brocha. How can you say a Brocha later on? The Brocha is not Ma'akev. You're ready. Since Sviras Saima, Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanan. So Sofik the Rabbanan the Kudas. So you're ready Bein Hashmashes. So the Vilna Gaon writes, there's possibility that the Brocha is Ma'akev. Why is the Brocha Ma'akev? I mean, according to the Rav Yoh. According to the Rav Yoh, we don't do like the Rav Yoh. We don't say Shehayayim, but he says it's like a Sveik. Maybe you weren't Yotze because Ben Hashmash is Sofik Yoyim, So you can't count today for tonight. And maybe Ben Ashmash is his Laila, so you were Yaitse, but maybe the din is like the Rav Yo, that you're supposed to count Sviris HaYomer in the form of a Brocha. So if you counted Hayoim Shlosha, Yes, Yimam, Shayim, etc., you didn't say the Brocha, so you're not Yaitse. The Chacham and one Mesakin, it's not a Dimin HaTor, but they were Mesakin. You have to fulfill the mitzvah of Sviris HaYomer in the Nusach of a Brocha. So that's what the Vilna Gaon writes to explain that din. We usually assume that the Pshat in that din is different, that the person counts Svira ala Tanai. If I remember to count later on tonight, have in mind not to be Yotze now, then I'm going to count with the Brocha later, it's going to be after Tzeisa Krama. If I forget to count later, then I have in mind to be Yotze now. We usually assume that it's ala Tanai. But the Vilna Gaon Epis writes not that it's ala Tanai. He's writing a different vort, that the Brocha is Meyakev. So someone showed us that... One of the Talmid Chachamim of our generation writes in his Sefer that the reason why the Vilna Gaon says that the Bracha is Miyake, because Rabbi Yankiv Emden has a Svara that if you light Nervus Chanukah, you didn't say a Bracha, so you're not Yotze because without a Bracha there's no Pisum in Nisa. I could even understand that. Without a Bracha there's no Pisum in Nisa. I could understand if you would light Nervus Chanukah, you wouldn't say Shosan Nisan. There's room to say you're not Yotze because there's no Pisum in Nisa. If he said Shas and Nisim and he didn't say Lahat Gner Shal Chanukah, how can he say that he's lacking Pisumin? He said Shas and Nisim. Over here, the Bracha is not Shas and Nisim. Over here, the Bracha is Al Sfir Saima, and there's no Pisumin Nisa. The Indian Al Sfir Saima has nothing to do with Pisumin Nisa. So what did Rav Moshe Shtenbrock write like that? I don't think he's right at all. What in the world does it have to do with Pisumin Nisa? What did he quote? He quotes Rav Yankiv Emden, who says that Asvara, that if you lit Neris Chanukah, you didn't say the Bracha, the Birchas HaMitzvah, you're not Yotze, because of lack of Pesuminis. I don't think that makes any sense. And I don't see what the connection is with the Sphere
Zayinah. So the Gemara says you put it in your hand, so therefore it's not this L'Oru Sarah. It's light. So he said, I'm not saying I'm not the Bracha. Why does he say that? For the proportion to Birchas HaMitzvah, L'Oru Sarah. I mean, actually, it's something to see one. Not just like this dark in the room, so you light candles. Ah, that's why he says
Okay. That I can understand. Okay, that I can understand already. But what connection does it have with the sphere? So, amen. I think that's it. The Baha came up with a Chiddush that Tosis finds very difficult to swallow, that if you missed one day, you can't continue to count. So Tosis, out of respect for the Baha, they think that he's wrong, and you should continue counting, but out of respect for the Baha, so we leave out the Bruch. We don't say Bruch. What is the pshat in the Bahag? So the Primogodim understood that the Bahag meant to say that all the 49 counts are one mitzvah. It's one kima mitzvah, because the Rami Akhim says that. The Ramam says that Dalamina Shebelulav is one mitzvah and Tfilin Sheyad, Tfilin Sheyosh are two mitzvahs. How did he figure that one out? So he says, because Tfilin Sheyad, Tfilin Sheyosh are not Akhim Zezeh. So that's an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs. So that's an indication that it's one mitzvah. So because the Primogodim says, because the Bahag thinks that every sphere is ma'akvim zezeh, if you missed the counting 23, you can't continue to count 24. So apparently he thinks that all the 49 countings constitute one big mitzvah. So that's why the Primogodim is bothered with Akasha. How come we say 49 brachas? If it's only one mitzvah, how can we say 49 brachas? Rav Soloveitchik said two terutzim on the Primogodim's kasha. So he said one terutz could be, Enach Hanami, it's only one mitzvah, but you have to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah every time you do a Maisa HaMitzvah. So there are 49 different Maisa HaMitzvah. One Maisa HaMitzvah has to be done the second Seder, the second night of Pesach. Next Maisa HaMitzvah has to be done the next night. Next then Maisa HaMitzvah next night. And one recites a bracha according to how many Maisa mitzvah there are, not according to how many kiyume mitzvahs there are. The Ramban has a kasha against the Ramam. The Ramam in the Sefer Mitzvah says that there's one mitzvah to be makar b'karben oilo kimish potoy. One big mitzvah. Ramban says, but the Tosefta says, the one who shechts it says a bracha, the one who does kabbalah sadam, shegirushani b'kdushos ushalayim, it's ivana la kabbalah sadam, says a bracha, the one who does halacha sadam, the one who does rika sadam, one of those hepshit, nituach, haktora, every step of the way, the septa says you say a bracha. According to the Rama, that everything is one big mitzvah, how can we say so many brachas? So the Nosei Kelim there on the Sefer HaMitzvah's answer, like Rav Soloveitchik said here, he said, there's only one Kiyum HaMitzvah, but there are many Masei HaMitzvah. So Brachas, Birchas HaMitzvah are recited according to how many Masei HaMitzvah there are. So that was one suggestion. Then Rav Soloveitchik thought that the whole premise of the Kasha of the Prima Garden may not be correct. He thought, who says that the Pshat in the Bahag is that all the 49 countings are one mitzvah? Maybe the Olam, they're 49 mitzvah. But he meant to say a different thing. If he didn't count 23, there's no continuation, so he can't count 24. Let's say, I know in advance I'm going to die in the middle of the Sfirah. I'm deathly sick. I know I'm going to be in a coma. They're going to do surgery. I'm going to be out for a day and a half. I know I'm going to miss a day. So already the day before, from the beginning, I know I'm going to have the surgery there. From the beginning, you count without a bracha. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's not necessarily correct. Maybe the other each night there's another mitzvah. They're not ma'akvim zezeb. It's ma'akvim in one direction. If you miss 23, there's no continuation. That's why you can't count 24. Even though you know in advance you're going to miss, you still count. If you miss the day, then the Bahag says that you don't count. Okay, how about Tzloch on the finals? Tomorrow we're supposed to discuss. Oh, tomorrow someone else is giving a shiur. So, tomorrow I'm giving a shiur at 1 o'clock on Zmane Hayom Bahalocha. In 408 or 418 or something. Okay.
Wednesday is next year.
What is the topic of Wednesday? If neither. Okay.